they took my grandmother, which is why I hate zombie takeout.
Now I hate zombie takeout too. Welcome to episode 171 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got a little bit of listener submitted. This is from John Phillips in reference to, I almost said last week's episode, but the last episode we did 3 weeks ago.
We need to take more vacations.
Sergeant Pepper. He said, Sergeant Pepper album. June 1967, Days of Future Past, December 1967. So
I thought they were much closer.
Yes, so did I. Apparently Sgt. Pepper was much earlier. He said, I also find that the original album is overrated, though it changed the industry from singles to albums. And I commented after that, saying it's interesting that almost 50 years later, the industry had to be dragged kicking and screaming back to what they had already been doing.
Yeah.
Back to the whole singles thing with the MP3s.
Days of Future Past is so weird because it was, from what I understand, it was done as like a on the hush hush. They were given money to do like a test album. Like the Moody Blues weren't like a big band.
Right.
And they did it without the record company's knowledge. They were supposed to do some sort of symphony.
And from what I've heard of their earlier stuff, they were very much a typical sort of British Invasion pop band before this.
Yeah.
More if you go back to, you know, Go Now and all of that.
Yeah.
Before Justin Hayward came in.
Yeah.
So that was really a big change in their direction, as well as something relatively new for the industry. You know, the concept album.
Yeah.
He also pointed out that the Alice Cooper song Because from Sgt. Pepper is from Abbey Road.
Right. And that's the strange thing, because that song, the whole beauty of that song is the harmony.
Yeah, I was just listening to the original before we recorded this.
And he does it spoken, taking everything away from it.
We'd mentioned that, you know, Alice Cooper can sing, so he should have sung it. Having gone back and listened to the original, no, he did the right thing. I think it would have been worse if he tried to sing it.
Perhaps. Or he could have just not done the movie.
Well, that would have been better for... Well, if they just decided not to do the movie, period, that would have been better for all concerned.
That movie could very well be proof that time travel has never been will never be invented.
Because no one's gone back and stopped it.
Yeah. So DeLorean pulls up in the middle of the movie and just, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you could say the same of Showgirls and Crossroads. And
that's, you know, that's just junk. Whereas this, you know.
Yeah, true. The defilement of you know, genius does make a case for Sgt. Pepper being worse.
Right. That's just vodka. Mm-hmm. That's really all you need. All you need is vodka.
Well played.
Thank you.
And on to some news. This is from IO9's Morning Spoilers column about The World's End. Edgar Wright explained to the New Zealand Herald about the differences between this film and his previous two collaborations with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, saying... The difference with this one is that the actual character comedy is a little more honest and frank. I'd say it is both darker and also sillier, which seems like an odd combination, but I think when you see the movie, you'll see why. He went on to explain how the film is a cautionary tale, saying, quote, aside from all the sci-fi mayhem, it's a cautionary tale about not looking back. There's that phrase, you can never go home again. I think a lot of people have been... through that experience, whether it's going back to a hometown or going to a wedding or a school reunion, or you reconnect with old friends, it's always bittersweet. We came up with this idea about five friends, four of whom have become adults, and one person who wants to still be a teenager, and him trying to recapture that, not even glory days, but one glory night. And you know, the sting in the tale is that he gets a wild night of a different hue.
Now, do you really think that Hot Fuzz... I'm trying to think of the name of the other one. Escapes me. Shaun of the Dead. Do you think those were light?
No. Particularly Sean.
Right. Like, and the plot summary that they're given does not sound darker
No.
than no, either of those two. So
And
that
he's
kind of
always.
sounds like a contradicting
Yeah.
message.
And he's always done this sort of bittersweet character thing.
Yeah.
Particularly in Hot Fuzz, the relationship between Frost and Peg's characters. How it was actually very touching how they hated each other at first and then kind of grew to, become close amidst all of the insanity. So yeah, obviously I want to see it, but
Well, yeah,
it's
definitely.
gonna be interesting to see how accurate this description is.
It's why I stopped listening though to pre, art talk, Just give us your work and let us judge it on that. I don't need to hear, what these people have to say about certain things and whatnot. Just put it in your work. We'll figure it out.
I'm a sucker for spoilers or any sort of information I can get going in. So, and I've kicked myself for doing it in the past, but I still can't help it. And on to this week's movie. And as I mentioned on the Facebook page, I think on the Google Plus and Twitter as well, we decided on a slight change in plans this week. We were going to review Cockfighter, but last week saw what I've been referring to as the B movie event of the summer.
After swearing that the cockfighter thing wasn't a bit, like that we
Yep.
weren't going to put it off, that we were really going to do it,
We put it off.
we put it off.
Yeah.
It reminded me of like a bit that Howard Stern would do when some useless bit of news was coming on. He would interrupt his show and you would hear like this, positioner like going, "A Howard Stern exclusive." And it was just some, crazy, stupid bit of news going on that no one cared about.
Means we've done something similar to Stern. That's wow.
Well,
Anyway,
instead, our ridiculously silly thing is
really,
Sharknado.
really ridiculously silly. Yes, you spoiled it. But yes, the B movie event of the summer from this year, from last week actually, Sharknado. We could really couldn't have gotten to it any sooner. We would have had to have recorded last Thursday and done the show an hour after the movie finished.
I was out of the country when this aired,
Yeah.
so I mean,
We got to it as soon as possible.
I still heard a lot about it, even in Canada. Although I was in a house that did not have cable, so I could not have watched it there.
And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Not sponsored by science, because sometimes it just gets in the way.
Well,
Oh, before you get into the summary, I have a bit of trivia. I know this is unusual, but this really kind of sets up the plot summary.
okay.
In an interview with Uproxx's Danger Guerrero, director Anthony Ferrante summarized the film's plot: "There's a flood and a storm. Don't worry about it."
So we have this dude who owned the dude here who owns a bar on the beach, and there's a storm that a hurricane that hits. We'll save the nitpick. Well.
I'm not going to say I won't nitpick the science because I have a little bit here, but it's not a matter of nitpicking for accuracy. It's just kind of making fun of how far off it is.
I think we could spend 2 hours of this
We
episode
really wanted to nitpick the
talking
science e
about.
easily.
Yeah.
Not
But
just science,
anyway,
logic, reason, the whole nine. But I only will be doing so for humor reasons.
it's in the LA area, and there's a hurricane that's about to hit. Should I let that settle? No, I won't. There's a hurricane that's about to hit LA.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
No?
That's a very good point. It
In
does
my notes, it
trigger.
was like if you didn't realize that they were going to throw out the laws of science, the West Coast hurricane really should have clued you
Yeah,
in.
I didn't think about it. But the title should have clued you, and the title tells you exactly what you're in for.
So of
Continue.
course, in a hurricane, the one thing they did have right, there are numerous tornadoes generated in a hurricane, and those tornadoes went into the ocean, and I would wonder what would happen if there were, would it throw sharks out into the onto land? I
There
mean, it
have
is.
been storms that have picked up sea life and deposited them on land. It has
Yes.
happened.
Right.
They point this out in the movie, and it actually, I remember, it's not actually officially in my trivia, but I do remember reading about that's one of the things that kind of inspired the idea.
Now, there were already a lot of sharks, a lot of shark activity. They claimed driven up by the storm, so there were people getting sliced up from the very beginning. So there were three tornadoes full of sharks, and in this movie, tornadoes act much in the same way that hurricanes do, only more concentrated form, and they deposited sharks all over the LA area. And our hero has to go and save members of his family, stopping along the way to save other people that he saw in danger. And I think I could really could just say hilarity ensues at this point because yes, there are sharks everywhere. There are some stormy moments, and then
Lots of
but
absurdity.
yes, lots of absurdity.
And actually, honestly, when I first heard the title Sharknado, I expected it to be, and this is probably the only one of my few criticisms, I was expecting it to be far more batshit insane than it actually was. Because I thought the whole thing was just going to be a giant tornado full of sharks. And with the sharks flying out and eating people. I thought that was going to be the entire movie.
I would have preferred that, I think. That sounds like a better movie than what we saw.
I was a little disappointed that it wasn't that until I really thought about it for a bit. And that would have been amazing for like 10 minutes. And then it would have gotten old.
Yeah, but that was the problem with this movie. It really didn't have enough to last a whole hour and a half.
See, for me, it did. I mean, just in terms of the absurdity of it. Right off the bat, they start by showing you the storm picking up the sharks, which I liked. It just kind of explained it all right from the beginning. Here you go. And then it gets to this fishing boat that's attacked by the sharks. And it kind of almost looks like it's setting up a villain. And then he dies immediately. It's a complete head fake. So, and it's a lot of moments like that. At one point, they drive through shark-infested waters. And I'm just going to let that sit there for a second.
There's a lot you could just let that sit there. I'm still stuck on the West Coast hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
Because the hurricane, it's the spin is generated by going up against the jet stream. That's why Europe never gets them. West Coast never gets them. They won't exist in that direction.
But the water is deep enough for sharks, and these are some big sharks. In some cases,
Right.
very unrealistically big sharks, I think. And yet they're driving an SUV through them.
Oh, of course. I think he said he had something special about his SUV that he'd taken it through jungles
It
and
was a boat?
stuff. I They did try to explain different things. It was kind of like, oh boy.
And this is way jumping ahead, but at the end, how they're gonna get rid of the Sharknadoes. There's a moment of exposition that it was hilarious. Because there's an Australian character who is a red shirt from the beginning and really lasts much longer than you expect him to.
Yeah, he did. He was kind of like Kenny, where you just kept expecting him to get killed throughout the show, and he managed to survive until.
Most of it, almost the very end. But they're discussing this plot we'll get to later, the scheme to get rid of the Sharknadoes. And he just stops, looks dead at the camera, and with this big goofy smile just explains the science. Completely breaks the fourth wall. Loved that. But again, another minor criticism, because if you can't tell, I loved this movie. Okay, so we get the Sharknado forming and the head fake with the fishing boat. And then it suddenly turns into, I don't know if it was an episode of 90210 or Baywatch.
Oh, there was a lot of
This fun on the
Baywatch.
beach. With this very awkward moment where you see crowds of people talking, but you don't hear any dialogue. You don't get the rumble of conversation. It's just music and people talking to each other. Which was very odd. So they interrupt it with this Baywatch thing, and then they get back to the interesting B movie.
Well, that's the problem with this. There was a lot of obvious filler. Like the bus scene. Which, honestly, why couldn't they have just gotten Wizzo to play Finn? Oh, did I mention that? The main character's name in a shark movie
Yeah,
is named Finn?
yeah. Played by Ian Ziering from 90210.
Yeah.
But the bus scene, okay, the bus scene was good for one reason.
Well, obviously.
The guy playing the bus driver was Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch.
Is that who that was?
He died. A house fell on him, effectively.
Wow.
And he
We
looks a lot
won't.
like Pitt.
I said we won't spoil exactly what fell on him, but.
Yeah. But he looks a lot like Penn Jillette these days.
He did, he did.
And since we're talking about the cast, I will say the acting in this movie wasn't necessarily good, but it was surprisingly competent for an asylum movie.
It was. I think the worst of the lot was the Australian.
Yeah. Well, the worst of the lot was an old guy at the end who had one line. But of the regular cast, definitely the Australian guy,
I
yeah.
don't even remember the old guy.
Come on.
Oh,
Come on,
oh.
everybody, get away from the window.
Oh,
It was
yeah,
like
that was
somebody's
pretty good.
grandfather who, was given one line. It was atrocious, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And another great thing is it had some great shots of random extras kind of running in fear. Like along the lines of like a trauma movie, where they were just cut in randomly. That I enjoyed.
It really was like it was edited by someone blindfolded, you know?
Yeah.
They just really slapped a lot of shit together.
Some of the worst CGI I've ever seen. Probably the worst CGI in any movie we've covered.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Outside of possibly other asylum movies.
Why do you think they work at bad CGI? You know, like purposely just try to go for, I mean, because, well, in fact, all of this. Why do you suppose they go for the dumbest stuff? I mean, because you know they're not, they can't be that dumb.
Well, that's the thing is when you title a movie Sharknado,
Yeah.
you're deliberately making it bad.
Right.
You're making it absurd and hilarious. You're going for comedy.
Right. Oh,
You're
definitely.
not winking like a lot of the self-conscious B movies do. At least not in the same way. But it's deliberately bad. And it's supposed to be just batshit insane and funny. And I think the bad CGI is part of that. Plus, it saves money.
Yeah.
They don't need the server farm and all of the people working on it to get it to look real. They just have one guy with After Effects.
Because, I mean, they probably live in LA and know that they don't get hurricanes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Actually, I don't have this officially in my trivia because so I'm pulling it from memory. When Asylum approached I think it was either the writer or the director, I can't recall, with the project, they said they want a storm and a shark attack in the same movie.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, do you want a big storm and then a shark attack, or do you want a storm full of sharks? They got back to him a while later with the name Sharknado. So it was, basically his pitch that gave him the idea of a storm full of sharks.
I think the funniest dumb part that they put in, I believe they said the eye of the storm is pounding, you know, the coast and stuff.
Well, I missed that one.
Yes, it
Right.
was on the news.
Ha.
Because I even wrote my note, like, because they kept talking about the eye is coming. I'm like, let me guess, they're going to make the
That's the
eye
worst part,
the
yeah.
worst part of the storm. But of course, it's clear.
Yeah. And there were a ton of things like that. At one point they're clearing out of Finn's bar because, and this is before the sharks, this because this big storm is coming, and he's telling them to, Well, no, it was after the sharks. It was after the shark came through the window. That's right. And he's telling them to find whatever weapons they can. Nova, the hot chick, goes right behind the bar and in about 2 seconds pulls out a sawed-off shotgun. He's telling
Right.
them to find whatever weapons they can. There's a sawed-off back there.
Just something, you know, she keeps on hand.
Oh, also, this was kind of funny. We alluded to it in the intro. She has a scar on her leg, rather large scar, that they spend most of the movie trying to make a mystery of.
Right. It's
She says she hates sharks. She makes that
the
very clear.
scar in the shape of bite mark.
Yeah, and she says she hates sharks, and it's supposed to be this big mystery.
Like, gee, I wonder what it could be.
Yeah. I half expected her to have some kind of superpower because of it.
And of course, that would have to be the second funniest bit in the movie, was the scar and just how it's this dumbass mystery that, of course, anybody can see. And then when they go to reveal it, just, as the line we did at the beginning, they took my grandfather, which is why I hate sharks. Because so many movies do that stupid shit, where it's they took my daughter or something, and now they must pay.
Another line I loved. LA wasn't built for this much water. It's a beach town. See, driving through shark-infested water, as I've talked about. I think that was my favorite absurdity, was the driving through sharks.
I thought it was kind of odd that they used the oxygen tank bit, so just
Yeah,
offhand.
they stuck an oxygen tank in a shark's mouth, it bit down, and it blew him up.
I mean, there were a number of Jaws references
Yeah,
throughout the
of
film.
course. We're going to need a bigger car, was it?
Helicopter.
Helicopter.
Yeah. And the Ferris wheel was like straight out of 1941, I think.
That's why they were willing to go with the oxygen tank gag that randomly, because you're already watching the Ferris wheel rolling into the hotel.
Yeah.
That was the big part of that scene, and the oxygen tank was a quick throwaway gag.
Yeah.
I also loved George, John Hurt's character, and his stool. Because when Finn is telling them to grab whatever weapons they can, he picks up the stool he was just sitting on. And he carries with it with him everywhere. He's, at one point retrieving it from the back of the truck because he just needed his stool with him.
I love George's last words. Did you catch them?
No.
Ow.
Ha! And he died because he had to go back for his stool. That bummed me out a bit because I loved his character.
Getting mauled by sharks, and all you just hear from underneath is,
Ow.
ow. There were a lot of great lines just kind of underneath other things going on. Like when they're trying to kill the shark. I think they were in the house trying to kill the shark that got into the house. And in the middle of the scuffle, you hear the girlfriend yelling at the shark while she's trying to kill it, "Die already!" Cause, which may have been an improv because the scene was kind of going on a bit too long.
And if that's the case, it's even funnier because she's
Yes.
kind of talking about the scene.
Right.
And another bit I loved when they get out of the ex-wife's house, because of course he has to pick up his ex-wife and his kid, and the ex-wife's current boyfriend has to die because that's what they do. He's a red shirt. The sharks have gotten into the house. They manage to get out and run for it. Suddenly, there's water pouring out of the windows, and the house just disintegrates.
Oh, I thought you were gonna you missed another great line from that scene. I'm gonna distract
Yeah. I think I was letting a lot of that go just because of the nature of the movie.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so bad it's good line. I mean, obviously they knew what they were doing, you know?
Like the point where just before the bus scene, actually leading up to the bus scene, he says he's gonna go save this bus full of kids, and Tara Reid's character, his ex-wife, gets on his case about it. She's criticizing the hero for being too much of a hero.
Right.
Just seemed like odd in this movie where he's the only one who's definitely gonna survive, you know?
Well, and it turns out he doesn't even really have much to do with the final,
Well, we'll get to
action.
that.
But really, they should have gotten Wizzo
To direct it?
to act,
Oh, to act in it.
to be the lead.
Yeah, I could see that would be
Just
good.
go with it all the way. I'm going to distract them.
Maybe not as Finn. I can't see him playing the heroic type. I could see him as the Australian guy. Well, maybe be the German guy, but
I could totally see him being Finn. I'm going to go save that bus full of kids that you can't see from the outside for some reason because no one's waving for help, and it's just an empty bus until they get to the bus itself.
That was the footage they had.
Yeah. There might be kids on there.
Yeah.
It's an empty bus.
And I was paying more attention to the logical flaws, like a car blowing up because the engine was flooded. Their first truck, the one that apparently turned into a boat, the engine got flooded, which I don't think they understand flooding an engine.
Oh, it's another one of those things where they just—I mean, I feel they did a lot of
Yeah,
purposeful
that had to be intentional.
stupidity,
But
you know?
they managed to get out, and then the
Think of
car explodes.
how close they were to shooting at a fish through the bottom of the car, which I so was hoping they were going to do. There's a fish under the car. Like, how did the fish get under the car, first of all? How would you know the fish was underneath the car? Why would the fish even bother a car? But they could feel the fish, fucking with the car. They made it look like she was going to shoot at the fish through the bottom of the car, which, of course, would have let the water come flooding in. That would have been hilarious. I was kind of disappointed they didn't go there.
And then they find this other giant new monster truck kind of a thing, a big Humvee with a nitrous button.
Just add some Fast and Furious action in there.
Who puts nitrous in a truck, especially a very large one?
Okay, you know what? That is more plausible than cops trying to keep people out of the inland area
Yeah, true.
in the middle of
When they hit the nitrous button, they blow through this accident scene. And they don't hit anything, they don't cause any trouble, they just kind of
No.
get through it real quickly. And the cops chase them for miles.
Yes.
The cops would have kind of cursed at them and forgotten it in reality, because they didn't cause any more damage.
But in reality, who sets up a block for the people on the coast for evacuating? Think about that.
We're going astray here. We're talking about reality with this movie.
That was probably one of the craziest parts of this whole movie. Even the ending when we get to that, which is, of course,
We're getting there.
yeah. But think about that. It's the middle of a hurricane. They were keeping people from evacuating. Setting up a blockade for people, keeping people
Evacuating
from
the
going
shore, yeah.
inland. Yes. What was the point of that? Other than to set up a Fast and Furious scene.
And then, of course, we get to the climax, effectively, the beginning of the climax, which is this flight school where his son, who there was no mention of up until now, is a student at. Yeah, apparently he has this son who they never talk about, even though he picked up the ex-wife and his daughter.
Right.
He's at this flight school. They get there because Finn has some half-baked idea for a way to stop it, which he doesn't talk about until they get there. And the son is trying to figure out if this helicopter can fly. He stares at the back of the fuselage for a few minutes and says it can fly. And then they're trying to get these weapons, again with the makeshift weapons. Finn finds a chainsaw, hands a hedge clipper to the ex-wife, and says, "Think you can make that work?" And I gotta credit someone else for this, Jen Miller, who commented on our Mad Max episode a while back. I was talking to her about the movie, and she pointed out, "What are you gonna do with a hedge clipper?"
Landscaping, duh. That's like asking what a billboard's doing in a cemetery.
Pretty much, yeah.
Advertising.
And then they decide, and this is where Baz, the Australian guy's great exposition comes in. They're going to throw bombs into the Sharknadoes.
I look forward to the Mythbusters episode
Oh, God, yes.
where they try to disprove that.
I don't know how they do it, but I would love to see it. Yeah, they're going to throw bombs into tornadoes to try to dissipate them. At which point, Baz just turns to the camera and explains what a tornado is. I have no idea if it was an accurate description, but it was still hilarious.
Yeah.
And then another one of those annoying moments, like the random 90210 Baywatch episode breaking out. They discuss this absurd plot about throwing the bombs into the tornadoes.
Yeah, I was gonna say you really just glossed over that fact. That needs to sit out
We
there.
need to let that sit, yep. Throwing
They
bombs
are
into tornadoes.
I mean, we gloss over so many things in this movie. They threw bomb into a tornado to make the tornado dissipate.
Yeah. They tell us about this plan, and then suddenly it's family drama time because the daughter isn't getting enough attention.
Yes.
So they derail for a good 2-3 minutes with that, which nobody cares about at this point.
Right. More filler.
Then, of course, they continue with the plot, and the son goes up in the helicopter with the hot chick to throw the bombs. And Finn takes to the runway with the chainsaw. And I at least once, maybe, I want to say more than once, literally chainsaws a shark in half as it is going for him. Lengthwise. Apparently, they have no bones.
And they just eat. That's all they do is eat.
Oh, and of course, somehow they've survived being taken out of the water by the hurricane.
Well, why wouldn't they? They need to be underwater or something?
And another thing that they kind of did very quickly and randomly was the Australian guy's death.
Yeah.
You know, he's, as you pointed out, the Kenny of the movie. You constantly expect him to die because you know he's gonna. And
Right.
his death is kind of random. He just gets attacked by a shark and you barely notice it.
A lot of the deaths in the movie were just random
But you'd think in
deaths.
his case, I mean, they made a big deal of George, the
Yeah.
guy with the barstool. They made a big deal of him. Baz, who's been hanging on much longer than he should be, is just kind of sidelined. You know, his death is just kind of this thing that happens in the middle of the whole thing.
My guess they paid George a lot more to do this
Well, it was
than
John Hurt.
Baz. Yeah. That's just my guess that he got paid a lot more.
And, you know, as this is happening, the son and Nova, the hot girl, are throwing the bombs at the tornadoes. And, or the sharknadoes, I should say.
All
And
right.
one of them clamps onto the helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
And she feels the need to attack it.
She hates
Because
sharks.
she, yeah, she
Weren't
hates
you
sharks. Although,
paying attention?
despite the fact that at that point, if it tried to do anything, it was going to fall. It couldn't attack at that point. She decides she needs to kill it. She falls out, gets swallowed by a shark, and then the helicopter crashes. And then we get to possibly the best part. Helicopter drops. The son is safe, of course. They run to this old folks' home where the sharks are falling into the pool, and they light the pool on fire. I saw on Twitter somebody said, you know, to the people pointing out that they didn't need to light the pool up because the chlorine would kill them. You're missing the point. Because of course they have to blow up the swimming pools full of sharks. So they're at this old folks' home, and then suddenly they end up back at the flight school, or in a random parking lot, which is where all of these scenes were filmed, I'm sure, all the outdoor stuff. And you know, Finn goes to do the cool cutting the shark in half with the chainsaw move again. Get swallowed whole.
Of course.
Now, of course, he's the hero. You know he's got to survive somehow.
Yeah.
But he's in there for a minute. Suddenly, he chainsaws his way out of the side of the shark. And then he pulls out Nova, the hot chick, who apparently was swallowed by the same shark and survived in there. And this is another thing I have to credit to Jen Miller. She said, if John Hurt's character had emerged from the shark with the stool, at that point, the movie would have been perfect.
It would have been, oh my God. Oh. Oh yeah, that really would have, that would have made it.
Yeah. And it would have just been great to see him back, because I loved his character. He died too soon.
You know what? It was funny because, I was listening to our last episode and talking about Strawberry Fields' death in the last movie and how, of course, you knew they weren't done with her for some reason. in this, that, you know, if there was going to be a sequel, they would have to bring her back somehow.
That was my reaction when she fell into the shark. You know, they killed the hot chick? They
like
never
you,
killed the hot chick.
Right, you knew it was just like...
I was my jaw was on the ground. It was probably the only thing that actually surprised me in the movie.
Like, when they kill Strawberry Field, you knew she was coming back somehow.
But I didn't see how she was going to... In this case, in Sharknado, I didn't see how she was going to come back. So I was kind of shocked, and then that happened at the end, and of course... It was just one of those moments, but it's just, yeah, of course they did that.
Yeah.
Now, some good did come out of this movie, aside from some laughs. A representative of the National Weather Service jokingly recommended what to do in case of a Sharknado, saying, as with any waterspout or tornado, the best advice is to be in an interior part of the lowest floor of a sturdy building and not outside, whether sharks are raining down on you or not. Organizations such as the Red Cross of Oklahoma City also used the film as an opportunity to pass on storm safety information.
Oh.
Red Cross of Oklahoma.
I don't...
Landlocked.
That's the worst recommendation. I mean, there was no tape on any of the windows. I mean, there was nothing. People...
Oh, no, it was a well, they weren't going for any of that. Yeah, I don't...
Right.
You would use this to pass on safety information unless you're saying don't do what they did.
Maybe. I'd imagine you would use this if you were looking to get killed.
Yeah. All right, so I'm pretty much done with my notes.
I am as well.
On to sequels and remakes.
And I believe there was news just announced either yesterday or today.
Even though the premiere of the film was watched by only 1.37 million viewers.
Really?
Slightly below the average for these sci-fi movies. Or I should say sci-fi. I don't like to call them sci-fi anymore. These sci-fi asylum movies, they usually get 1.5 million. Despite that decrease in ratings, it is getting a sequel.
That's crazy that it had lower ratings because...
The buzz was huge. Twitter was all over this thing. Will Wheaton, Damon Lindelof were tweeting about it. Lots of other, you know, well-known people.
From what I understand, if you were on Twitter when this thing was on, this was all
As
you
I
were
was.
Hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was following along on Twitter. And of course, the next day when I watched it, I had to tweet my responses. It seemed like the right thing to do, even though I was late. Anyway.
In fact, I had this ruined for me because there was, I listened to a radio show where they did the entire plot.
Oh, what?
Like the next day, it was just like, they talked about it for almost the entire length of the movie. Mm. We're halfway, by the way. We're half the length of the movie so far.
Oh, wow. As I was saying, Sharknado 2 will see flying sharks invade New York City and is slated to air on the cable network in 2014. Sci-fi also announced a Twitter contest to name the sequel. Fans will be able to tweet their subtitle to @SciFiMovies using Sharknado. The network will select the best submission as the sequel's subtitle. So they're crowdsourcing the subtitle, and they're... Well, at least New York makes more sense. But I don't see a need for a sequel, because it's just going to be the same thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
How can they ramp it up?
Oh, I'd give it a shot. Why not?
I mean, I'm going to watch it, but...
Of course.
I just don't think it's necessary. Now,
I think it's just an obvious thing to have a sequel.
Of course. Especially when something went that viral.
Right.
I'm just surprised, as you are, that it didn't quite get the ratings as that they usually get.
Yeah.
Even how viral it went. I think a lot of people were enamored by the name and were laughing at that, but really had no interest in watching it. It was just happened to be a few people who were high profile who watched it and tweeted about it.
This is far more interesting than any train wreck you're ever going to see.
Oh, absolutely. For what it is, a TV movie, and that's really, again, one of the few things I didn't like about it. Or I can't say I didn't like about it. I was disappointed that it was a TV movie. If this was straight to video, if they didn't have to deal with the constraints of television, this could have been amazing.
I think you're right. I think you're 100% right. Because honestly, I got a little bit bored throughout, like towards the later part. It just...
I can't say
know.
I was bored, but it would have been so much better.
I was struggling to stay awake, honestly, the last The last bit with the retirement home and all that stuff.
But that gets to my proposed remake.
Yeah.
I
A
would
remake.
absolutely love to see Troma take a shot at this.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to deal with the constraints of television. They commit to the absurdity in ways that Asylum could never dream. That would just be such a beautiful thing.
I don't know. I think Asylum embraced the absurdity just fine on their own. I think it's just the gore factor needed
you wanted
to
more
be
gore.
Upped.
Again,
I mean,
it's a TV.
I knew. Right. And I expected that. But I think at least the gore would have made it more interesting.
If it was straight to video, they could have upped the gore and the nudity and really given us the movie that it could have been.
Ooh, wait a minute. Do you think there's an unrated version they're sitting on that they would do on DVD?
I love that thought, but I doubt it. I don't
really
think they would shoot more than they needed to. Bear in mind, Asylum is all about getting movies out under budget.
Yeah, but think about it. They could sell DVDs or, you know,
yeah,
flicks or whatever, you know?
I hope there is, but I don't see Asylum going that route.
Okay.
They're just about doing the bare minimum. That's how they've made their name. All right, so on to Brains.
On to Brains.
I pointed out a lot of things that I thought could have been better, but still, I absolutely loved it. I'm going 4.5.
I had a lot of trouble figuring out what to give this because there are just so many funny, funny lines and just spectacular stupidity that, I mean, Billy Madison's stupid, but of course, it was intentional, you know?
Of course.
If anybody really thought the stuff that went into this, you would wonder how they would, you know, function.
They couldn't function.
In
no.
society. No. You know? I mean, you would just have to be like, what? Do they? Mm. Is there somebody cutting their food for them?
Yeah.
And all of that was really interesting, but they just didn't have an hour and a half's worth on this. I'll go 3.5.
Okay. And what have we learned?
That a line should in an Asylum film should never begin with, "I was raised by my grandparents."
And I learned that you should never throw bombs into a tornado full of sharks. You'll just end up getting swallowed alive by one of them and crashing a helicopter. I don't know how you'll do both, but it'll happen.
Could you imagine if they... Also, you know, one fact I never pointed out, the tornadoes never actually did any damage.
That is true. It was all sharks.
It was just a CGI tornado going over the land.
Yeah, but it didn't pull off anything from the buildings it was clearly going right over top of.
Yes!
That is true.
So they may have done more damage with the dynamite.
They weren't so much tornadoes as they were just shark delivery systems.
Yeah. Shark PS.
All right, so until next week, when we swear we will finally be reviewing Cockfighter.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode which you're already listening to, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. Maybe some more in order by the time you hear this. The request form, of course, if you have a movie you'd like to hear us review, leave it on the request form, and the recommendations list. I was sure this was going to hit the recommendations list. But, alas, it wasn't quite up to par for you.
Nah.
Of course, the recommendations list is every movie we've collectively given 4 brains or better to. You can also email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZT01, or for the alphanumerically challenged,
you can still go fuck yourself.
414-368-9861. Of course, until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
We've never been hit by a storm quite like this.
Thank you.
Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And, well, we'll get to that. I was going to mention the change of plans. I'll get to that when I'm announcing the movie. And before we get to this week's movie,